You're on.
Once again, a very warm welcome to this, our winter webinar for 2025. Since our last session, a couple of issues have emerged, and I thank you once more for your continued contributions. First up, what does a sale and leaseback involve? And then we'll take a look at which biases commercial property investors should avoid. And finally, a book summary for this session, Wellbeing by Tom Rath and Jim Harter. Anyway, let's make a start on our first topic for today. What does a sale and leaseback involve? As an investor looking at commercial property, you've probably heard about the concept of sale and leaseback. This approach allows businesses to unlock the capital from their properties while still continuing to use them. And this segment will break down what a sale and leaseback is all about, why it is gaining traction among investors, and what you really need to consider before jumping in. So what exactly is a sale and leaseback transaction? Well, picture this. A company owns a commercial property, say a warehouse or an office building. Instead of holding on to that property, they decide to sell it off to an investor, but they immediately lease it back. That way, they receive a sizable amount of cash while still being able to operate out of the same premises. In simple terms, the investor becomes the landlord and the seller turns into the tenant. For example, a company might sell its office to free up some much-needed cash to expand its business, but they then keep running their daily operations in the same place by signing a lease with a new owner. In other words, it turns out to be a win-win outcome. However, you might be wondering, why would anyone choose this arrangement? Well, let's explore some of the key benefits for both sellers and investors. For sellers, it's all about liquidity. Selling the property opens up a flow of cash that can be reinvested back into the business or used to retire some debt. This can be a game changer for companies that need to fund new projects or expand their existing operations. Next, there are steady returns for investors. For buyers, leaseback arrangements can create long-term, reliable income. Mostly these leases are signed with creditworthy tenants, which means you can count on receiving your rental checks without a hitch. It's a relatively low-risk investment, especially if the tenant has a vested interest in caring for the property. Therefore, you have a lower maintenance risk. Let's face it. When the previous owner becomes the tenant, they usually have a strong emote, usually have a strong emotional and operational, conditional and operational connection to the property. They're more likely to take good care of it, which means reduced maintenance for you as the landlord. Finally, there are also some potential tax perks. Because the lease payments are tax deductible for tenants, and depending on your situation as an investor, there would be favourable tax treatment available to you as well, including significant depreciation claims on the building's fit-out and structural components themselves. So what are the key considerations before you dive in? While sale and leaseback transactions come with their perks, there are a few things you'll want to think about before making a move. Start by delving into the details of the leaseback agreement. What's the duration? Are there appropriate rent escalation clauses? What about maintenance responsibilities? Long-term leases, think 10 years, are usually preferred, but you'll want to ensure they align with market rates to keep things competitive. Next up, Do your homework. Never skip the due diligence step. Investigate the property's physical condition, its location, and emerging market trends. And of course, make sure to evaluate the tenant's financial health, because a tenant with good credit history or providing a solid bank guarantee means there will be less risk of them defaulting on their rental payments. Then, before finalising the deal, take a look at the present market conditions. Is it a buyer's or a seller's market? Because this could impact your negotiating power and the specific terms of your leaseback agreement itself. Of course, you always need to be thinking ahead. What's your exit strategy? How easily can you sell the property in the future if you need to? Having a clear plan can save you from headaches down the track. And finally, the legal and regulatory factors. Navigating the legal side of sale and leaseback transactions is crucial, and it's a smart move to work with lawyers who specialise in commercial leases. They can help you sort through the legal complexities to make sure that your contract protects your interests and is drawn to reflect the purchase as a going concern, so you avoid having to pay GST. Anyway, now that we've covered the benefits and concerns, perhaps let's take a look at it, some real-life examples. Case study number one, a warehouse leaseback in Melbourne. This involves a logistics company operating a large warehouse in Melbourne that decided to go for a sale and leaseback to fund some much-needed technological upgrades. They sold the warehouse for $8 million to a commercial property investor and signed a 10-year lease at competitive market rates. This not only helped the logistics provider boost its capabilities, but also provided the investor with a reliable income stream. Case study number two, some office space in Sydney. In another example, a well-known professional services firm needed capital to expand its operations. They chose to sell their prime office space in Sydney for $12 million while retaining occupancy through a 10-year lease. This move provided them with the funds they needed and gave the investor long-term cash flow and the security of a reputable tenant. So, who's who in sale and leaseback transactions? When you enter the world of sale and leasebacks, you'll come across various key players. Property investors, who are generally wealthy individuals or smaller institutions looking for stable investments. Corporate sellers. These are the businesses looking to liquidate assets while still keeping operational control of the property. Next, you have real estate agents who play a pivotal role in facilitating these transactions, ensuring both parties get fair representation. And finally, legal advisors who specialise in commercial property, making sure everyone is compliant and fully protected. So, there you have it. Sale and leaseback arrangements offer a compelling avenue for commercial property investors. They can maximise returns while minimising risks, provided you do your homework and take a strategic approach. With the right understanding and careful planning, both sellers and buyers can reap genuine, long-lasting benefits by adopting this approach. On that note, let's move on to the next topic for today. Biases investors should avoid. As an investor in commercial property, you would know there are certain things you need to be wary of. With fluctuating markets, changing regulations, and the ever-present challenge of tenant management, it's easy to let biases shape your investment decisions. These biases are not simply irrational tendencies, but are often steeped in lessons learned from your own experiences. Also, they can influence how you perceive risk, opportunity, and the overall landscape of property investing. In this session, we'll explore the six biases that every commercial property investor should keep on their radar. So let's begin with the buy and hold bias. One common assumption among many investors, especially those with long-term success in their sights, is the belief that buy and hold is the golden rule of investing in commercial real estate. This bias stems from the historical performance of property markets, particularly in Australia, where property values have generally trended upwards over time. However, holding on to a property without considering market conditions can be a two-edged sword. For instance, while the Sydney and Melbourne property markets have seen fairly constant gains, other areas may not have consistently performed as well. Plus, not all markets are in sync. Investors who assume that property prices will always rise might miss opportunities to sell at peak values or, conversely, hold on to underperforming assets for too long. As property markets shift and evolve, it's crucial to regularly evaluate your portfolio, ideally every 4 years. Are you still holding on to that office space in a suburb that's losing its appeal? Therefore, it pays to stay informed and be flexible, rather than being tethered to an outdated bias. Next up, location, location, location is a mantra that's been drilled into the minds of property investors. While it's true that location is a critical factor in determining property value, an overemphasis on this bias can lead to missed opportunities in emerging markets. Many investors cling to the notion that prime locations will always outperform others. However, areas once considered less desirable can become hotspots or growth areas due to new developments, infrastructure projects, or demographic shifts. For example, suburbs that were once overlooked may benefit from gentrification or the establishment of new transport links, which significantly boost their property values. Remaining open to the potential of areas outside the traditional blue-chip locations can be beneficial. Keep your eye on trends and developments in various regions, and don't be afraid to explore properties that defy the conventional wisdom of location. Then you have the cash flow over growth bias. Many investors focus heavily on cash flow, believing that positive rental income is the primary indicator of a successful investment. While cash flow is undoubtedly essential for maintaining liquidity and ensuring operational costs are covered, placing too much emphasis on immediate cash flow can overshadow the potential for long-term capital growth. In the current landscape, where interest rates are fluctuating and economic conditions are shifting, it's important to consider the growth potential of your investments. Properties in areas with strong economic fundamentals, like job growth, population increases, and infrastructure development, can provide substantial capital appreciation over time. So, while it's great to have properties that provide immediate cash flow, don't overlook those that may require a bit more patience but offer significant growth potential. Moving on, you then have the fear of missing out bias, or FOMO. This is a powerful driver in the investment world. If a particular property market segment is gaining attention, many investors feel compelled to jump in, fearing they'll miss out on potential profits. In commercial property, this could mean diving into the latest trend, be it co-working spaces, medical centres, childcare facilities, or retail developments, without sufficient research. The rush can lead to hasty investments and potentially costly mistakes, particularly if the market shifts unexpectedly. Instead of succumbing to FOMO, take a step back. assess the fundamentals of each investment. Is there solid ongoing demand for the type of property you're considering? Does it align with your overall strategy? By grounding your decisions in research rather than emotion, you can avoid the pitfalls of impulsive investing. Another prevalent bias is the assumption that all commercial properties will always appreciate in value. While historical trends show that commercial property overall increases in value over time, not all assets or locations follow this trajectory. External factors like economic downturns, changes in zoning, or shifts in consumer preferences can drastically impact property values. Consider the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on commercial property sectors like retail and hospitality. Many businesses have struggled, resulting in diminished property values in those sectors. As an investor, you must remain vigilant and adaptable, continuously assessing the market and your investments rather than relying on past performance. Next up is the neglect of new technologies bias. As you will appreciate, the commercial property landscape is constantly evolving, and technology plays a significant role in shaping it. However, many investors can fall into the trap of dismissing new trends or tools, believing that traditional methods are sufficient. From property management software to online leasing platforms and virtual tours, technology can enhance efficiency and improve tenant experience. Additionally, understanding new trends like sustainability or mixed-use developments can open doors to innovative investment opportunities. Therefore, it's important to continually liaise with your property managers to ensure they remain open-minded and adaptable to new technologies and trends, which will give you a competitive edge and lead to better investment decisions. So, to sum it all up, recognizing and understanding these six biases is crucial for any commercial property investor. While personal experiences and historical data shape our investment decisions, it's vital to remain adaptable and open to new information. As market conditions evolve, so too should your strategies and perspectives. By challenging your assumptions and biases, you can make more informed decisions that not only protect your investments, but also position you for future success in the dynamic world of commercial property. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, keeping these biases in check will help you navigate the complexities of the property market more effectively. So, make sure you invest smarter and keep your biases under control. With that said, let's now move on to our book summary for this session, Wellbeing, by Tom Rath and Jim Harter. It's all about creating a balanced life. So let's explore something that we all think about at one point or another, and that's our well-being. You know, the way we feel about ourselves, the connections we have, and how we feel financially and physically. Sometimes we get caught up in the latest fad, promising to boost our happiness, whether it's by a new diet, a career shift, or simply the latest self-help book. But those choices might not always align with your overall life goals. The truth is, our lives aren't simply a bunch of isolated elements. They're all intertwined. And when you view your work and your finance, your health and relationships separately, you might miss the intricate web that they create together. As such, true well-being comes from a harmonious blend of five essential areas: career, social, financial, physical, and community well-being. Anyhow, let's unpack these various aspects and see how they can help you create a happier life. First up, career well-being. This is about enjoying what you do every day, not just clocking in and out, It's about feeling satisfied and finding meaning in your work. Social well-being. This pillar revolves around the quality of your relationships. Think of the love, support, and connections you have with those around you. Financial well-being. It's not just about having a hefty bank balance, it's more about feeling secure and making choices that enhance your overall happiness. Physical well-being. This is all about your health and energy levels, which enable you to enjoy life to the fullest. Community well-being. Here's where we explore how connected you feel to your community and the various groups you're involved with. Now, it's eye-opening to note that while around 66% of people report thriving in at least one of these areas, but only about 7% feel like they're nailing all five. So what's the secret sauce for those who feel fulfilled across the board? They are able to align their daily choices with their long-term goals. That's right. When you make decisions that echo your bigger aspirations, you're setting yourself up for success in the present and the future. Let's kick things off with career well-being. Have you ever noticed how much your job can impact your mood? Loving what you do isn't just about making the workday bearable. It can spill over into other aspects of your life. Research suggests that job satisfaction is closely linked to mental health. For instance, being unemployed for an extended period can hit you hard emotionally, almost like grieving a loss. If you find joy and purpose in your work, you're likely to carry that positivity into your personal life. But if work feels like a slog, that stress can seep into your home life too, which is a spiral that's hard to break. Now let's talk about a little something called Monday blues. Studies even show that the dread of heading back to work can lead to physical stress, with a spike in heart-related issues reported on Mondays. But the good news? When you love what you do, that satisfaction can actually boost your overall health. So how can you enhance your career well-being? Here are a few quick tips. Tap into your strengths. Make sure you're using your skills every day. It makes work feel more rewarding. Engage with joyful teams. Surround yourself with positive influences at work. You'll find it can make a world of difference. Connect with supportive colleagues to build relationships with people who get you and share your vision. Next up is social well-being. Think about the people you love and cherish in your life. Your relationships can have a huge impact on your overall happiness. In fact, happiness can be contagious. If a close friend is happy, there's a 15% chance you'll feel that joy too. And it doesn't stop there. This ripple effect extends to your friends' friends, showing just how interconnected we all are. But it's not just about the quantity of friends. It's about the quality of those relationships. Did you know that having a best friend at work can boost your engagement and productivity? It's all about those meaningful connections that provide support and joy. Research from Harvard shows that socially active individuals tend to have better cognitive function as they age. What's the magic number? Spending about 6 hours a day engaging socially can lead to a happier, healthier life. So prioritize those connections. Here's how to enhance your social well-being. Dedicate time for connections. Aim for around 6 hours a day of social interaction. Grab coffee with a friend, send a text, or pick up the phone to call someone you care about. Strengthen bonds. Focus on building reciprocal relationships. It's a two-way street. Combine social time with physical activities. go for a walk with a buddy, or join a fitness class together. It's a win-win. Now let's discuss financial well-being. Financial security is about more than just numbers in your bank account. It's about how free and secure you feel. Interestingly, studies reveal that spending money on experiences like travel or outings with friends brings more joy than splurging on material possessions. Experiences create lasting memories and excitement that can improve your happiness for years to come. Moreover, your financial satisfaction is tied to other life aspects. Happy work life and strong relationships can make it easier to steer clear of the temptation to compare yourself to others, which often leads to financial stress. And the key to financial well-being, it's about making smart choices. Instead of hoarding money, focus on feeling confident and secure with what you have. Here are a few tips to help you boost your financial health. Invest in experiences. Prioritize your spending on outings or activities that bring you joy. Give to others. Acts of kindness can create a sense of fulfillment. Automate your finances. Set up automated savings and payments to reduce daily money worries. Moving on now to physical well-being. This pillar revolves around the everyday choices you make. Each time you eat, drink, or move your body, you're making decisions that can either support your health or diminish it. Healthy eating, regular exercise, and sufficient sleep are foundational for a vibrant life. Ever notice how nutritious meals can boost your mood? Foods rich in colourful fruits and healthy fats can regulate hunger and even uplift your spirit. And exercise? It's a natural mood lifter. Even if you're feeling fatigued or unmotivated, getting up and moving can invigorate you more than you might realise. And let's not forget sleep. It's essential for resetting your body and mind, impacting your focus and memory. When you skimp on sleep, you're doing a disservice to your health. To enhance your physical well-being, you may care to consider these tips. Aim for daily exercise. Start with just 20 minutes a day, ideally in the morning, to boost your mood throughout the day. Prioritize sleep. Aim for 7 to 8 hours each night. Your body will thank you. Choose healthy foods. Focus on natural options that are rich in colour. They help ensure your good health. Lastly, let's explore community well-being. This isn't just a buzzword, it's about feeling a sense of belonging and connection within your neighbourhood. It's about feeling safe and secure when walking around your community. And that peace of mind is vital. Once your basic needs are met, it's essential to find a community that resonates with you. Beautiful surroundings, green spaces, and welcoming environments can make a significant difference in your happiness. But being part of a community involves more than just living there. It's about actively participating and contributing. Engaging in local groups can create strong connections and a sense of belonging. Plus, helping others can give you an emotional high like no other. Sharing your passions and talents can positively impact your community, and you might even inspire others along the way. Here are some ways to enhance your community well-being. Identify your contribution. Think about how you can give back based on your interests and skills. Share your passions. Let people know what you love so they can connect you with like-minded groups. Get involved. Join a community group or event, even if it's just starting with small steps. So let's quickly recap on the 5 interconnected pillars of well-being that can shape your life in meaningful ways. By focusing on aligning your daily choices with your long-term goals across your career, social life, finances, physical health, and community engagement, you can pave the way for a more fulfilling existence. Life may throw challenges your way, but when you've built a solid foundation across these key areas, you'll be better equipped to weather any storm. And just remember, it's all about balance and connection. So go ahead, take small steps, and watch how they lead to big changes in your well-being overall. With that said, I'm afraid once again, that brings us to the end of our session today. And once again, I do hope you found what we covered in today's topics to be of help. As always, please continue to let me know of any issues that might be concerning you so that we can try and include them in future webinars. And in the meantime, my very best wishes to you and your family.